76. Can you play that? Man of Sorrows. You want to try it? It's a slow one.
Try.
All right, we'll let you play a little more of it. Right?
Let's try 76. If not, we'll move on to another. We've got a whole book for it. Psalm 37 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And we see here, we know Asa at a time, he wrote a song about all the things that were going on around him, all the things that were going bad, and he looked at all the people that was doing it, and he was saying, man, all those people doing all this bad stuff, and they just seem to be having so much fun and so much pleasure, and life is going on. And he says, and I remembered their end. Now David's writing this psalm. He says, "Fret not because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And I could sit here and say, on many occasions I've sat at home and I've said, these people, they're not going to church, they're not paying tithes, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they've got all these parties going on. Tomorrow's going to be a party day for most people. All these parties going on, and they're doing everything in the world except serving God, and it looks like everything is just luxuriously laid in their laps.
Yeah.
They go do what they want to go do. They be where they want to be. They have fun where they want to have fun. They have parties where they have fun. And the Bible says, fret not. Don't worry about what they've got going on, because we've got a party going on when we get to where we're going.
Yeah.
Their party will end. Their fun will end. Their stuff will be stopped. But we will go on forever and ever and ever enjoying the benefits of Christ in heaven. So fret not. In other words, don't sit here and worry about all the things of the people who are against you, what they're doing. Don't stay on. David said, I spent way too much time worrying about what Saul was up to. I spent way too much time worrying about all the things Saul was doing instead of just enjoying the things of God and not being all worried and upset and running here, there, and everywhere, getting under rocks and caves and everywhere else trying to get away from him. He said, fret not, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. Tonight, don't worry about the bad things that are going on. Don't worry about all the sicknesses that are going on. I know we need to be praying about stuff like that. But we don't need to sit here and worry about things we cannot fix. Don't sit here and just say, oh man, I wonder what we're going to do. I wonder how we're going to do this. How we're going to fix it. Trust in the Lord. Put our trust and faith in what He's doing. The things He's got to say. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, I got to stop right there and say, if I wanted the desires of my heart, if they're not in line with what God's got going on, I got bad desires. So now, if I get my stuff is lined up with God's stuff, if my stuff is lined up with praying and studying and lined up with living a right life, God will give me the desires of my heart. But if my mind is always on sideways things, I need to be thinking about getting any of that. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In other words, if I put all my trust in God, if I put all my trust in the things that Jesus Christ has done, if I commit to Him, He says He will bring all these things to pass. He will bring my comfort. He will bring my relief. He will bring my life everlasting. He will bring all my leisure in the right places. He will bring me rest. It says, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as at noonday. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That's where I mess up a lot of times. I want to get in charge of making things happen. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not again. It says, fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. It says, don't worry about that man who's doing things wrong. Don't worry about that man who's cutting corners. Don't worry about that man who's trying to skim off the top, the one who don't pay his tithes, don't pay his taxes, don't do all the things he's supposed to do. Don't worry about him, because God will take care of those things. He says, you just worry about what you're doing and the way you're doing it with God. It's not my business what that guy over there does or that lady over there does. My business is strictly between me and God. Just like it said to Peter, when Peter looked at Jesus, when he had denied him three times, and Peter says, well, what about him? And Jesus says, don't worry about him. Him's not your problem. You need to follow me. My problem is I need to follow Jesus. I need to hang close to Jesus. My problem is not whether you're keeping up or you're keeping up or you're keeping up. It's if, am I keeping up? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, don't look at the things they're doing and say, well, they're getting away with it. Maybe I could too. No. No matter what they're doing, no matter what's going on in their life, I need to make sure I cease from anger, not get upset about what they're doing, and it says, fret not myself to do evil. In other words, don't look at all the world, what they're doing, and say, well, I'll just be like them. Don't go there. It says, for evildoers shall be cut off. Evildoers shall be ceased. Evildoers shall be taken care of. Evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. If I stay by the stuff, if I keep trusting God, if I keep putting my faith in God, it says I will inherit the earth. You will inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. If we really sit around and see what's going on with the world out there, it's not going to be a little while. Like it says, man's life is but a vapor. Man is like the grass when it gets cut down, and then as soon as it's cut down, it turns brown and dies. Man is just a little while here, and then we're gone. I will just be a little while here, but then I will spend eternity in heaven. The evildoer, the one who has not repented, the one who has not believed in Jesus Christ, he will be here a little while, and then he will be cut off. And his fun will stop. His excitement will stop. His life of enjoyment will stop. Right here, and I've said this before, and I don't, it's not necessarily biblical, but this is all the hell I will ever have right here. But for the lost man, this is all the heaven they will ever have. Right now, this is all the good stuff that a lost person would get, what they have out there. Because when it's gone, it's gone. Says, the Bible says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I like peace. I don't like arguing and fighting and kicking and screaming. I would love to be able to just go down the road and wave my hand at my neighbors and everybody be happy with each other, everybody be content with each other, everybody be friends with each other. But we know the world's not like that. The world's not like that. But the meek shall inherit the earth. They shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. My hope is to be peaceful with all men. The Bible has a place in Psalms that says, he who shows him friendly shall have friends. If we show ourselves friendly, we'll have friends. I remember on every Tuesday night almost, I'm driving down the road to the detention center, and there's a man who's always leaned on his pickup truck. Now, he may be a touch off, I don't know. But every time he's out there and he sees my truck go by, he throws up his hand like this. Shows himself friendly. And I have done this thing. I wave back. Hey, how you doing? Showing myself friendly back. I'm not your enemy. I'm not your foe. He shows himself friendly. I want to be the kind of guy that people says, that man's friendly. That man has peace with him. That man is not a fighter or an arguer or whatever. He tries to show himself friendly. It says, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with the teeth. The wicked are always trying to figure out a way to make us look bad. The wicked are always trying to wait to take the righteous man and to tear him down. The wicked are always trying to get rid of God's stuff. The wicked would love to take God out of everything there is. There's not much of that left in this world right now. In fact, when the Bible says, when Jesus says, will I find faith when I come back? That sticks in my heart is, will there be any of us really here left who are believers, who are faithful when He returns? Will faith be already raptured out or taken on home through death? Will there be anybody left that can wave the flag and say, I'm still fighting for you, Jesus. I still love you, Jesus. I got faith in you, Jesus. Because we see that we're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So the Lord shall laugh at him, that wicked man, for he seeth that his day cometh. The Lord knows how many days each one of us has. The Lord knows just what our days are like. But he also knows that wicked man who boasts against himself, who thinks he's going to just live forever and party down and do all the things, tear down his barns, build bigger barns, all those things that he thinks he might do, that he might have leisure and more luxuriousness throughout his life. He says, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day coming. That man who built his barns up, but he said, man, I've done brought in so much crops, I don't know what to do. I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll kick back and I'll just party down. And God says, tonight, thy soul is required of thee. God knows the number of a man's days. God knows the end of a man's stuff. It says, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow and cast down the poor and the needy to slay them, such as be of upright conversation. I don't need to be that kind of person. I need to be kind to the poor. I need to be watchful for the poor, the fatherless, the motherless, the ones who have no, the widows and all those folks that the Bible says that it's more better for us to take care of those folks and do a lot of things that people think we ought to do. He says the wicked are always trying to hurt those people. The wicked abuse those people. The wicked try to put those people in a bad spot and don't care how much pain they inflict on them. It says the wicked pull out the sword and have drawn the bow and have cast down the poor and the needy to slay such as be of upright conversation. They try to destroy all there is. Their sword shall enter into their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. Now take that. This person who's being wicked, who thinks he's going to destroy everybody with their swords and with their bows and their arrows, God turns that thing around, and now that bow and that arrow was aimed back at them. All the things that they do against other people, God turns it around and says, all right, you showed that wickedness towards them, now it's coming back towards you. God rewards wickedness with the same wickedness that we dish out. It's amazing how God can do that and never get things out of whack. It says here, He rewards the unrighteous with the reward of iniquity.
Yeah.
If you are doing wrong, if you're doing unrighteousness, He has a way of bringing it all right back at you. It says, their sword shall enter into their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. In other words, He knows to hit us right where it hurts, right off the bat. He hits us in our hearts. He hits us in our home plate. He hits us where it counts the most. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. If we could learn to be content, and I know I always joke about in whatever state I'm in, Nebraska, Alabama, or whatever, but whatever state I'm in, wherever God is blessing me at, with whatever I have, the things that I have, the food that He's given me, and the things like that, if I could learn to be content, I know that's hard for us because sometimes my bread ain't toasted the right way or my eggs a little bit overdone or whatever, and I'm sitting there, I'm not happy. I need to learn how to be content in whatever state I'm in, whatever my economic boundary is. I need to learn that God can sustain me even with a little bit of stuff as much as He can with a lot of stuff. In fact, He can take a little when you eat it and make it last all day. He has that kind of power. Or He can take a big old supper and you eat it in the next 5 minutes. Now I'm sure I'm hungry again. I just didn't do it. Have you ever ate something that when you ate it all and you thought, and 30 minutes, 40 minutes later you said, man, I'm hungry again. On the other hand, you could eat a little old cake or something and go all the way till supper time. God can make a little go a long ways. For the arm of the wicked shall be broken. The arm of the wicked. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. We may not see the wicked being destroyed in our time, but God says, the arm of that wicked man, that arm of that one who's doing evil, the one who's doing bad things against folks, He says, that arm will be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. In other words, if we stay by the stuff, if we keep our mind on Christ, if we keep our mind on the end result, He'll take care of us. He will uphold the righteous. Those that He has saved, those that He called out, He says they may get burned at a stake, they may get stoned, they may get a lot of things done, but in the end, He lifts them up. He sets them up. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. How about that? Every one of these folks that are upright, every one of these folks that are saved, everyone that's in love with God, He says He knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. My inheritance, while I don't know exactly all it pertains to, it will be forever. Your inheritance will be forever. And I'm sure God knows how to give each one of us just what we desire and how we need it, godly wise.
Yeah.
It'll be forever. They shall not be ashamed, the righteous one, in the evil time, and in the day of famine they shall be satisfied. In other words, those who put their faith in God, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God takes care of it. It says they shall be satisfied even in the famine, even during the hard times, even during the rough times, even when you don't have nothing but beanie weenies, you can be happy. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat as of be the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. In other words, the enemy, God knows how to deal with them. He says, they shall be like the fat of the lambs. You take that fat, throw it in the fire, and boy, it makes smoke, it crackles and pops and burns up real fast like gasoline or whatever. He said, they shall be like the fat of lambs. They shall be consumed into the smoke. They shall consume away. That wicked person, one day he's going to be gone. He's going to be away from here. He's going to be out of here. There won't be anything left but the folks who are righteous, the folks who are in Christ. He says, those wicked ones, he says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. That's a good thing for us to think about. The wicked borroweth and pay not again. If there's anything that I borrow from someone, I need to make sure that I pay it back. Whether it be even from a bank or whoever, it doesn't matter where you get the money from or who you get it from. If you've borrowed it, you are a slave to the lender. You need to make sure you free yourself as soon as possible. Pay it back as soon as possible. It says the wicked borrow, but they don't intend on paying it back. They just borrow it for their own self-righteousness, self-needs, for their own consumption, for their own doing. It says the wicked borrow and they pay it not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. In other words, a righteous man, you might borrow from him and you might not be able to pay it back, and he'll just say, look, brother, sister, I forgive you. I know you said you was going to do your best to pay it back, and you look like you've done your best. I just forgive you. I show mercy. That's what Christ did to us. We could not pay the debt back. We could not repay him. He says, I'll tell you what, I forgive you all your debt. And then we turn around and find somebody that owes us a little bit, and we want to grab him by the throat, and we want to jerk him up and put him in jail. And then we think about it, Christ gave us forgiveness for all our debt, all our transgressions, everything that we did against God. He says, I rightly forgive you.
Amen.
It says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The righteous man will continue forever. The one who has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ will continue forever. The one who is faithful, continuing forever, because he's faithful in the fact that Christ has paid it all. Christ has done all the work. Christ has done all the doing. He says that man will live and inherit the earth, but they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. Those who have not put their faith in Christ, those who have not trusted in Christ, those will be cut off. There will be an end to them. There will be a stopping point for them. They will cease to be on the earth. They will not be in charge of the earth or anything about the earth. It says the steps of a good man are ordered. And some folks would say and argue free will. We can do what we want to do, go where we want to be where we want to be. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe God has ordered our steps. God knows just how to get me to be at point A if he wants me here, or point B if he wants me there. He knows just how to make the circumstances come up to get me to be here or yonder or wherever. And if you think about your life, I have never actually been able to do exactly what I wanted to do. Either there's a flat tire or a red light or a train or a death or you name it, that I have never totally been able to do just what I wanted to do. Somebody's always been fixing the circumstances to ease me to the left or to the right or wherever I go. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now all of our steps are ordered, but the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. In other words, when God is making my trail to come to church, making my trail to follow godliness, making my pathway to do the right thing, when I see what God is doing for me, I start liking it. I start delighting in it. I delight in his way. I would rather go the way of God than the way I was going. I would rather go in the way of God than do the things that I used to do. I would love it, the fact that God now orders my steps and brings me into righteousness and brings me into the pathway that I need to go instead of leaving me where I was.
Yeah.
Though he fall, we all fall. We all slip, we all stumble, we all trip. It says, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. In other words, when I fall down, Christ picks me back up. When I fall down, God brings me back and sets me where I was. When I fall, I am not utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He will not leave me fallen. He will not leave me in a state of disarray. He will not leave me undone. He will pick me back up. He upholdeth me with his hand. And I can remember when some of these, like John was in Revelation, and he said, I fell down like a dead man, and he reached down and he picked him up and set him up and he spoke to him. Daniel was laying down and the angel picked him up and he spoke to him. God will not leave us down. He says, I have been young. And now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, I have been around a pretty good while. I'm not sold to some of you guys, but I've been around a little while. But I know that God takes care of his folks. God has a way of doing these things. God has a way of keeping them taken care of. He says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God does not forsake his own. He says, I will neither leave thee nor forsake thee. He is very merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. God is merciful and lendeth. There have been times when I thought I was down out, and from somewhere out of nowhere, all of a sudden somebody would lend me something. I'm sitting there, brother, I didn't ask for this. I didn't. He said, I know. I didn't even tell him I needed anything. He just knew. Folks take care of folks like that. They see the need and they just do. He says, God is very merciful and lendeth. And how does he lend? He lends with other folks. He takes other folks that he's blessed with monies and blessed with things and blessed with stuff, and he lends to folks who are without and does. He says he is very merciful. He says, depart from evil. That means me, you, all of us. We need to make sure we stay away from evil. We need to stay away from the things that draw us into that life that we're sitting here saying, well, I need to be like them. I want to be like those folks. I want to party down all the time. I want to have a fast boat and a four-wheeler and a truck, and I want to do all those things they're doing. I want to be able to go fishing every week on Sunday. I want to do everything. He says, depart from those folks. Depart from the ones who are not doing what they're supposed to do. Depart and do good.
Amen.
Do good. And dwell forevermore. The good man, the one who is righteous, the one who is following after godliness, will live and be forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment. In other words, when I do make judgment, when I do consider a complaint about this one or that one, I need to make sure, do I like him more than this one or that one? I need to make sure, whoa, I need to put all my friendship stuff aside. I need to hear the case, what this one's actually saying, and what this one's actually saying, and godlily make my judgment. I should not prefer one person over another. God is not a preferer of persons. He's not a respecter of persons. And he tells us when we do our judgment, we're not supposed to do that either. That organ, he's going to come back after a while. It says, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved, I like that, forever. The perseverance of the saints, the way we're going to stay forever, the one that's going to take care of us forever, we are preserved forever, says here. But But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. See, there's the showing of the perseverance for us, is the fact that God preserves His saints, God preserves the righteous, God takes care of all those, and the other ones are always being, sooner or later, their time ends, their time stops, their time will be finished. It says the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Now we know that this was a Jewish thing, and it's talking about Jews here and their land, but it goes into our stuff too.
Right.
We will be back in this land. We will live forever here somewhere. It says, they'll land and will dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom. The righteous man talks about Christ. The righteous man talks about God. The righteous man talks about the Creator. The righteous man tells of all the good things that God has done and will do and can do. The righteous man always exalts God. It says when he speaks wisdom. What is more wisdom than talking about God, the one who made everything? What is more wisdom about talking about the Savior, the one who died for sinners? What is more wisdom than telling someone about the truth of God? It says the law of his God is in his heart. The law of his God is in his heart. Always, continually. Every time I do something, I think about, does God like this or does God not like this? Would God be pleased with what I'm thinking about right now? Would God be pleased with what I'm doing right now? Would God be pleased with the things that's going on in my life right now? It says here, the law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So if I consider whether or not I'm pleasing God and I've got my right heart with God, I'll say, whoa, I need to stop. I need to repent. I need to get right with God. I need to do the thing I need to do. Therefore, my steps would not slide. It says, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. They are continually wanting to see how they can watch us go down. They're continually wanting to say, all them church folks, all that damn them Christians, man, one of these days we're going to see them fall. Man, that thing's all going to fold up, cave in, all that holy roller stuff. They just can't stand us. It says, the wicked watch the righteous and seeketh to slay him. He would like, at all times, if you pay attention to folks around you who are not Christian, at all times they're trying to figure a way to pick at you, to make fun of you, to ridicule you, to make your belief in Christ of none effect. They try to destroy you. The Lord will leave him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. The Bible says if I'll judge myself, I won't be judged. If I'll judge myself, that means that when I stand in my corner and I'll read my Bible, when I say, Lord, you say you don't like this and you don't like that, and I say, Lord, you're right, I am a sinner. Lord, you're right, I do this. Lord, you're right, I have done that. Lord, you're right, I am a sinner, condemned. I need a Savior. Lord, you are right, I still continue to sin. When I look at myself and judge myself, he says, if I judge myself, then I shall not be judged. In other words, I have brought my own judgment on myself. I have seen my wickedness. I have seen my wicked way. And then I go to God and I confess it and say, God, you're right, I am a sinner. It says to wait on the Lord and keep his way. I need to look at what the Lord's doing. I need to see where the Lord's going. I need to see where he's headed. It says, wait on the Lord. Instead of taking things into my own hands sometime and trying to, I'm just going to cause you to confess. I'm going to cause you to get right. I'm going to cause you. That's what some people do. They try to get somebody so guilty and so tired of them talking, I'll confess Jesus to get you off my back, whatever. It says, wait on the Lord. Give them the facts. Give them the stats. Give them the facts of God. Give them the truth of God. But you can't make them make a decision. You have to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord and keep His ways, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. If I just wait on the Lord, if I just keep trusting in the Lord, if I just keep putting my faith in the things that God's doing, if I just keep standing on what He has said. It says, wait on the Lord, keep His ways, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. There's a day that I'm going to get to see the wicked cut off. There's a day when I'm going to get to see all those who have ridiculed God, all those who have said bad things against God. There's a day when I'm going to be standing right here. They're going to be standing right there. And I'm going to be a witness to God's judgment. I might even be called forth to make a statement. Yeah, I talked to that person, Lord, 42 times. He never repented. God could very well use us just like that. I've told that person 100 times about Jesus. God already knows that. His books are open. He knows all the truth. I'm going to be sitting there as a witness of watching God do His business. I don't know that I'll be called up on the stand or not, but if I am, it'll be a righteous calling. It says, I have seen the wicked in great power. Boy, we see that right now a lot. The wicked are all over the place in great power. In great power, spreading themselves like a green bay tree. In other words, the swamp keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. In fact, corruption breeds ultimate corruption. This world is getting more corrupt. God said it right in Timothy. He says, people will become worser and worser. Without the grace of God, without the love of God, without God saving you, you will get worser and worser. Now, if you're bad now, just think about it. In 30 years, you're going to be exceptionally, exceedingly bad unless God intervenes and saves you. You will not get better. You might get religious, but you won't get better. It says, I have seen the wicked in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passeth away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. In other words, the day that wicked man gets judged, I may go around and say, well, I'm going to see what's happening with him, and he's not going to be there. He's not going to be around. God is going to be done what he's going to do with him, and he will no longer be able to be where I'm at, where you're at. He says, I have seen the wicked in great power. I have spread himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passeth away. And lo, he was not. In other words, he no longer exists. He ain't there. Yea, I saw him, but he could not be found. There's going to be a day when righteousness and wickedness cannot be in the same place together. There's going to be a day when God separates the sheep and the goats. And the sheep will all be on this side and the goats will be on that side. And it'll be done for them, but it'll be heaven for us. He says, mark the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. That man who strives to be godly, that man who strives to be honest, that man who strives to be gentle, that man who strives to be meek, that man who strives to be holy, the man who strives to be long-suffering, the man who strives to have joy in the Lord, he says, that man shall have peace. And women too. Whenever it says men here, it means women too. That woman that does all those things will have peace also. I have to look out there. I got a crowd of one man and 48 women. I'm covered by them.
Amen.
So anyways. But the transgressor. I was a transgressor until Jesus saved me. All you were transgressors until Jesus saved me. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. All the transgressors, not just a couple of them, not just a few of them, but all the transgressors. It says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. In other words, God will not spare in that day. God's wrath is upon them now, and his long suffering lets him enjoy this life now, but there will be a day when that transgressor will be destroyed. That transgressor's days will end. That transgressor will be finished. And there will be none left but us. Because it says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Salvation is of God. Salvation is by God. It says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. God is my strength. He is my shield. He is my buckler. He is my refuge. He is my hiding place. He is my strong tower. He is my exceeding great reward. He is my all in all. He is everything. Man. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Trust in Him. We are delivered because of our faith in God. Because God has given us the faith to believe in Him. And the Bible says that we should trust in the Lord. Seek His righteousness and not our own understanding. To do the things that are godly. To do the things that are pleasing to Him. It says the Lord shall help them and deliver them. We have a help that is right there at our hand. To be used if we just call out to it. We have a strength that is right there at our hands at all times for the righteous person, for the safe person. We have says, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. We are right if we trust in Him. So when we say our prayers, say, God, don't be ashamed. Say, God, help me. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm sick. God, I'm in debt. God, I'm in a bind. God, I'm this. God, I'm... Don't be afraid to just be open with God and spread your stuff out and say, here it is, God. Here's what I need. It says, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. What better way to show that I trust in God is to spread all my stuff out and say, yes, here's what I am. Yes, I confess it. And yes, Lord, here's what I need. And I know without You, I have no way of getting it. Here are the things that are going on in my life. Here's the things that I have threatening about. Here's the things that I worry about. Lord, I'm going to bring them to You. And I'm trusting that You will do the very best thing with it. Not that I think I'm the best or this is the best, but Lord, I know You will do the best. Everything that we go through, God has a plan and a purpose for. Every time we have someone who's sick or someone who's ailing or someone who's dying or someone something that's going on in our life, God has a purpose and He sees whether or not we will trust in Him or if we'll try to work this thing out all by ourselves. I'm not saying that we don't go to doctors and stuff. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that even when we're going to the doctors, even when we're going to the lawyers, or even when we're going to the banks, or whatever we may be doing, Lord, we are trusting that You will have this thing worked out and will bring the best outcome. He says, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And He takes care of us from the wicked. He keeps us. While we have to deal with the wicked, He takes care of us and gets us away from them. And He saves them because they trust in Him. The best thing I could tell any of you is to trust in the Lord. Don't try to trust in your ways. Don't try to trust in your strength. Don't try to trust in the things that you think you're not going on. Trust in the Lord because He can take things that you think are going this way and totally turn them and go that way. He has that kind of abilities. He has that kind of power. He can take a little bit and you say, man, what am I going to do with this? But if you trust in God, you get it. He can turn it into a whole lot of good. He can take a little and turn it into much. He has a way of doing those things. But it depends on trust. It depends on, I'm in your hands, Lord. Do with me as you will. Do with me and use me the way you will. People always say, well, I'd go be a missionary, but you'd probably send me to Russia. Well, if you worry about going to Russia, then you don't need to be trying to be a missionary. But you need to say, Lord, I want to be a missionary. You put me where you want me. And there's probably a good chance he won't send you to Russia. Because there's plenty of other places where he could use you. But that's the way we think. Oh man, he'll send me to Siberia or someplace like that. Well, if he did, God bless you. But most likely, if you just sign on the line and say, Lord, whatever you'd have me to do, he'll take care of it. He'll bless you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. The Bible says, fret not. Fret not. We worry so much about all these things that never happen. Never happen. We're sitting here, we had a storm. 3 days ago, started talking about the storm coming. Everybody's getting all bent out of shape. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with preparing for a storm. We all worry, man, that thing's going to hit us, it's going to do this, it's going to do that. 3 days away. 3 days away, we worry about it. It says, fret not. Don't worry about the things you can't fix. Prepare, buy your Spam, buy your canned goods. But trust God. Trust God. It says, fret not. Neither be thou envious against the evil workers. We spend so much time worrying and so little time trusting. We need to trust God. We need to commit our ways to God. We need to rest in the Lord. We need to seek from anger and forsake wrath. We need to just trust God. Amen. All right. Brother Keith, would you dismiss us, please?
Holy righteous Father, we do thank you for the words of this song.